Let us bow down to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for today. We are grateful to be alive. Thank you for your mercies upon us. Thank you, Father, because we know you have kept us, Lord, for such a time as this. As I come to share your word, Heavenly Father, firstly, I confess my sins and I strip myself of every confidence I might yet have in my knowledge or ability to share. I put all of my confidence in your mercies, in the grace of the Lord Jesus and the help of the Holy Spirit to use the preparation, even though it is very inadequate. I also talk under the covering of the set fathers in house, and I ask that same grace upon them will rest upon me, to help me to teach, to preach, to minister effectively as an oracle of God, as they will have done it today. I also ask the Lord, you help me to speak concisely and precisely, not to waste time or say things that are unnecessary, to bring out of the treasure of the word things new and old, as the scribe instructed of the kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Joseph, the answer of peace. Praise the Lord. Let's say it together. Joseph, the answer of peace. Praise the Lord. Pastor has said a lot in what he just shared, which is a background of what I'll be sharing from. Right now, everybody is not sure of what will happen. You know, some revelation says that the angel will take peace away from the earth. That seems to be what is happening now in this season of spiritual tribulation that the church is going through. You see, everywhere you go now, you are not sure of what will happen. You know, that's why from scripture, I'll start from scripture I quoted in the book of Isaiah chapter 60. It says that, arise, shine, put on the bar. Isaiah 60 verse 1. We'll just read and we'll move on. It says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Let's read together. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Next verse. For behold, let's say it together. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall do what? Arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Like he said earlier on, they will see that glory upon you and I. They will not imagine it. They will see it. Like they saw it on Moses' face. And they saw it on the, Stephen. They said his face shone like that of an angel. And of course, they saw it on Jesus Christ. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Next verse. Verse 3. Lord, have mercy. Anyway, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. What are we saying? You see, the darkest hour is before dawn. You see, the darker it gets, you know, for us, let me put it this way, the better the light that will shine. You see, the Bible says that God dwells in blinding light. So when that light manifests itself upon you and I, you cannot deny the fact. It's going to dispel that darkness. So, but what we are saying is there's so much darkness in the world right now. And darkness speaks of the absence of peace. Now, if you notice, I'll just talk about in the book of Genesis, when Pharaoh had a problem, he had a dream. Right now, most of the leaders of the world are having terrible dreams. In which they cannot sleep, they don't know what to do. Having today's EU meeting, they are talking about how to solve climate change. You see, they don't know, they don't have an answer. So when Pharaoh spoke and they brought out Joseph from the prison, and he told Pharaoh something. He said, God will give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Right now, the world leaders, they need the answer of peace. And it's only Joseph that will give the answer of peace. In fact, Joseph is that answer of peace. Praise the Lord. Because we read that story further on. After Joseph interpreted the dream for Pharaoh, he said, oh, where shall we find this kind of person for God's sake? Said, that means that Joseph became the answer of peace at that time in Egypt. Praise the Lord. So, what are we saying? I'll take this text from book of Acts chapter 7 verse 10, where Pastor God is sharing for where I got this message from. Acts chapter 7 verse 10. Let's read together. Are we all there? Let's read together. And delivered him. Who is him here? Joseph. This is the speech that Stephen gave before they stoned him. And delivered him out of all. I can't hear you. And delivered him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. What are we saying? Three things happened there. Let us read. Point number one. And delivered him out of all his afflictions. That is the first thing that God did for Joseph. The next stage is, and what? And gave him favor with and wisdom in the sight of Pharaoh. That's the second that God did. That's the second thing. God gave him favor and wisdom. And the third thing God did was this. And God made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Praise the Lord. What are we saying? Three things happened here to Joseph, which applies to you and I. It also applies to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can see, the Bible says that in the book of Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13, that God has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us in the kingdom of his dear son. Right or wrong? You know? So, for us, that is stage number one, which speaks of Passover. The being born again. Delivered from sin, you know, of slavery of sin. Which we'll see later, which is we'll see happen to Joseph when he was in Potiphar's house. He was a slave in Potiphar's house. So God delivered him from that place. But that was not the end of the story. And Psalm 34 says that, you know, the Lord will deliver us, says that God will deliver many are the afflictions, thank you, sir. Many are the afflictions of righteous, but the Lord delivered him from them all. So you see, it is not enough to deliver from all afflictions. Or let me put it, it's not enough for us to get born again and sit down and wait for the rapture to come so we can go to heaven. No. Because why did God deliver you from all your afflictions? Like Papa Ralph said, it's not to sit down and watch TV and not be in pain. The next stage is that God now did what? He gave him favor and wisdom. Are you following me? In the sight of Pharaoh, the king. This speaks of Pentecost. But so when he ascended on high, he gave what? Gifts unto men. So this speaks of Pentecost. The spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge of him. So that is next that God did for Joseph. It was when he had these things before he now moved to the third stage. Are you following him? Now the first stage, you can see in life of Joseph, it was when he was in Potiphar's house. God delivered him from that situation. He came out from slavery to prison. That prison speaks of Pentecost. Paul said, I find a law worrying my members. Are you following me? Pentecost is yet to be rid of a sin nature. That sin nature keeps us in prison. Are you following me? It keeps us in prison. So Joseph had a measure of the spirit, so to speak. But the scope of which he could minister was confined to the prison. He could only interpret the dreams of the two guys in prison. I follow, but God has something more for us. Are you following me? So he was in prison, though, subject to sin. Are you following me? I'm using that as a type. Inside that prison, he couldn't do everything he wanted to do. He had a measure of the anointing. He had a measure of the grace of God. It was such revelation knowledge inside that prison. He could interpret the dream of the butler and the baker, but was limited in scope. Are you following me? That is what God has given us thus far in Pentecost, the earnest. It is limited in scope. Are you following me? So the third stage is now when Joseph leaves the prison and now stands before Pharaoh. And let's read again. It says that, the last I said, and he made him governor over Egypt and all his house. Praise the Lord. Egypt in the Bible stands for the world. And that house there is not just Pharaoh's house. It's talking about the body of Christ. So God made him governor. Even though it was Pharaoh that made him governor, but was God working behind the scenes that made him governor over the entire nation of Egypt at that time and also over his house. Are you following me? Praise the Lord. So, having seen all that, what does this mean to us? Because this is the third stage. God delivered him, one. God gave him, two. At Pentecost, now tabernacles God wants to make us. Bible says that in Genesis chapter 1 verse 7, he says that let us make man in our image and in our likeness and let them have dominion. Are you following me? The Bible says that he that overcometh, I will make a pillar in my temple and there will no more God. So God wants to make us Josephs in this end time. Praise the Lord. So what happens in this stage 3? God made
Joseph, governor over Egypt and all his household, which is above tabernacle. Psalm 22, verse 28. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is governor among the nations. We are saying the same things. Are you following me? It's like being conformed to the image of Lord Christ. Let's open to the book of Psalm 22, verse 28, please. Psalm 22, verse 28. Are we there? Let's read together. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and is the governor among the nations. Jesus Christ is the governor among nations, but he's also calling people out, is Joseph, to make them governors among the nations. That is, in every nation, in every tribe and tongue, there will be a governor. Talking about the perfect church. But there's a Christ in you and among you, the hope of glory. So God has raised up Joseph. He's not only going to be in one particular nation, not only in Egypt, but it's going to be in every nation, every tribe and every tongue and every kindred. I'm getting that myself. Why? Because of the release of the spirit without measure that I've been talking about. Now, who is a governor? Let me put some definitions behind this. A governor is someone who governs, rules with exousia and power, to whom the government is committed to. I'll say it again. A governor is someone who governs or rules with authority and power, to whom the government is committed to. You see, there's a difference between authority and power. Authority speaks about your rights, delegated authority. But see, thus far, the power that we have experienced in the church is not enough to back the authority we are trying to exercise. We are trying to exercise the authority of the Son of God, but we don't have the power to back it up. You see, what the value of your authority is the power that is behind it. Are you following me? So you see, what we have experienced thus far is we have the authority, you know, in Christ Jesus. You know, we have that name and everything. But we are yet to see the degree of miracles that we saw in the mystery of Jesus Christ. We are yet to see, unless we are going to deceive ourselves. So authority in the Bible speaks of exousia. Are you following me? But the power speaks of dunamis. This talks about the spirit without measure. The measure of the spirit of God, so to speak, that Joseph operated in the prison, you can't compare it to when he came out and the entire nation came to him. Absolutely. Are you following me? So you see, what is Joseph? Joseph, again, is a company of people that are operating spiritual law. That is the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, with a zero sin rate. As a consequence of this, God has rewarded them with the spirit without measure. If we read Joseph in natural, there was no single thing recorded against him. Hey! Like Daniel. Like zero sin rate. Nothing was written against him. So it's a perfect type that we are looking at today. So you see, God wants to give us, or the Josephs, going to give them this so-called governmental anointing. Hallelujah. It is an anointing to govern the nations. The spirit without measure, that's what it's going to do. They're going to say, behold, this is of God, we have waited for him. When these Josephs begin to manifest. So, what are we saying? The significance of what I'm trying to share is that this is exactly what God is about to do now. You see, Joseph is moving out of prison. Are you following me? When he came out of prison, what did he do? Bible says he shaved and he removed his clothes. And he put on a new raiment. Hallelujah. The spirit without measure. You see, he could no longer operate with prison clothes again. So he had to change his raiment. Because now he's going to appear before the king. So the measure of grace upon his life has to change. So what his father prophesied in the early days, when he gave him a coat of many colors, is now about to manifest. Are you following me? So Joseph is out of prison. How do you know? It's very simple. From what Pastor shared earlier on. When did Joseph come out of prison? When Pharaoh had his bad dream. So once you see gross darkness and they don't have an answer to it, know that the time has come for Joseph to come out of prison. That is the prophetic significance of what I'm trying to share with us. When the dark gross darkness envelops the people and there is no answer for this gross darkness, then Joseph cannot come out of prison. Before then, he cannot come out. So we are about to see a manifestation of the answer of peace to the nations of the world. Praise the Lord. So what are we saying? Let us open our Bible to Isaiah 22 verse 20. Praise the Lord. Thank you. Isaiah 22 verse 20. Yes, sir. Let us together. And it shall come to pass, Let's read together. And it shall come to pass, and it is coming to pass before our very eyes, that I will call, let's say together, I will call my servant Eliakim, the son of Hilkiah, next verse. And I will clothe him with the robe and strengthen him with thy girdle. And I will commit what? Thy government into his hand. And he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of what? Judah. Next verse. Hallelujah. You see, before I read the next verse, he said, I will clothe him. See, Eliakim was wearing a robe before. But he's put another robe upon him. I follow him in. And I will clothe him with thy robe and strengthen him with thy girdle, and I will commit thy government into his hand, and he shall be a father to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And the key, say it together, and the key of the house of David will I lay upon his shoulder. So it shall open and none shall shut, and it shall shut and none shall open. Praise the Lord. He speaks of authority. Next verse. And I will fasten him. Let's go. And I will fasten him as a nail in a sure place, and shall be for a glorious stone to his father's house. Next verse. And they shall hang upon him all the glory of his father's house, the offspring and the issue, and all vessels of small quantity, from vessels of cups even to the vessels of flagons. Next verse. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Help me to remember. In that day, in this day, said Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord has spoken it. You can take this to the bank. This is what is happening right now. Joseph has been delivered. He's been inside prison. Joseph is coming out now, and the next step for him to go is to rule on the throne. So we can see from that scripture. And as this is taking place, this last verse we've read will also be taking place. Because there's only one place. It's not like the day of the high priest that have Caiaphas and Ananias ruling. No. There's only one place for one person to rule. There's only one throne. So the nail that has been there, that has been ineffective, it shall be removed and cut down. Babylon has been the one that has created this darkness. Strange children. So automatically for Joseph to reign, whoever was on that throne that Joseph was before has to leave. So somebody else has to occupy that throne. So you see now, this is going to be happening simultaneously. I follow him. So with that scripture at the back of our mind, you know, the government, that word government also speaks of the glory of God. You see, in the Old Testament, it was the four priests that carried the ark. The ark in Bible represents the glory of God. That was why when they took the ark in the name of Eli to go and fight, and Eli's children died. You see, it's all the same thing happening right now. And the old man said, the glory has departed. He said, Ichabod. So the ark also speaks of the glory of God. And it says that that ark could be upon the shoulder of the Joseph that God raised up. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Let's move very fast. Lord, please help me. Let's read together. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the what? Government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Joseph, the answer of peace. The world needs the answer of peace now, and they can only find it in Joseph. Praise the Lord. So why is this very important? Why is God bringing out Joseph from the prison to the throne? Praise the Lord. I have 4 points I've written down. I'll go straight to them. Point number one, God wants to demonstrate to principalities and powers the manifold wisdom of God. You see, Satan used to seal up a sum of wisdom. But now God wants to demonstrate to them the manifold wisdom of God. See, the wisdom that the world has been operating thus far is the wisdom of the enemy. But see, Prince, yeah, that comes not. Is tending to zero right now. You see, as their wisdom is tending to zero, our own sin nature too is tending to zero. Are you following me? Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10. Let's look at to the intent. Let's say, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by what? The church or the Josephs. I follow me. The manifold wisdom of God. Praise the Lord. The second point we need to know is Satan. Is that why Satan is jittery? I follow me. Even if it gets darker than what we are seeing right now, the answer is in the church. When I say the church, I'm talking about the perfect church, the Zion church, not the Dugbe church. Praise the Lord. They are the ones that manifest the manifold wisdom of God, like Joseph did. Praise the Lord. The second point is this. Right now, in the midst of the gross darkness that we are facing, God wants to save his church and the world from the famine that has been created by the absence of the word of God, the word of life. You see, the America made a very bad, terrible mistake by removing the word from their schools and from the church. But see, the entrance of the word giveth light and understanding to the simple. The first they did, they removed the Ten Commandments. They removed it. Then next they said, nobody, you can't, they removed prayer. You can't pray again. Observe something. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 3 says, we understand by faith that the walls were framed by what? The word of God. So everything that you see is not made by. And Hebrews 1:3 says that God opposed all things by the word of his power. So how can you uphold a nation when without the word? It's not possible. How can you uphold the nation or even your life or anything or your children are trying to raise up without the word of God? That is the building block. So when they took that out of the church and out of their schools, you see, the only avenue for those children, some of them were don't have the Christians, but at least when they go to school, they will hear the word. They will be enlightened. But you now take it away from schools and suckling that so then strength. So you can now understand the darkness that has come into what. That's why when Jesus Christ died on the cross, but there was darkness. When the living word died spiritually, what happened? Darkness covered the earth. That is the reason for the gross darkness we are seeing. That's why there is gross darkness, because there is no word, no light. The entrance of his word giveth light and understanding to the simple. So there is no avenue. Once you take it out, then there's darkness is going to come in. Praise the Lord. So we see that already happen. But you see, God, in spite of what they have done, is going to raise up Joseph, like we said. I want us to lose that aspect, because that is the answer. That is the answer of peace. In Genesis chapter 45 verse 7, Joseph says something. Let's read, just to support what I've said. When his brethren came to him and were afraid, he said, and God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by what? A great deliverance. So, you see, God is raising up Joseph. One is going to demonstrate the principles and powers, the manifold wisdom of God. When I talk about Joseph again, it's a company of people. I and the children that God has given me are for signs and wonders. Are you following me? So you see, due to the absence of the word, God is raised up Joseph. He said, you guys don't disturb yourself. All the things you have done to me, it was God that sent me to do what? To preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. I don't want to go into that. That aspect to the church. Are you following me? Please talk about the perfection and the fullness of Christ. It's Joseph that is going to minister the corn to the church, the body of Christ. After that, he's going to make Joseph a father to the church and also to the world, to his children and his brothers too. Those brothers that envied him and sold him. You see, if they did not sell him, Joseph would not have. You see, that's why you have a spiritual tribulation. If they did not sell him, I can tell you, Joseph would not take that time to pray. He would have been resting in the comfort of his father's house, happy just with the promises, the coat of many colors. But when affliction came, he started praying. He started using the blood, the word, and the spirit. He knew that if I don't pray, what will happen? I will die. And that will be the end of the dream. That's why Paul said, tribulation. We enter into the kingdom. That is the reason for the situation we are now in the church. It's a time of spiritual tribulation. It's a time of Jacob struggle. But it's a believer. You see, watch this. Pastor has talked about the tribulation of the church, spiritual tribulation of the church. If you look at that scripture in the book of Matthew, it says that the great tribulation, when it occurs, he said that God will cut it short. He said, except the elect, or else the elect not be saved. So bring that to this spiritual tribulation where we are now. Where we are now is a very short period. It's going to be very long. That period is supposed to make you press in. I follow. Press in. It's not going to be long. Spiritual is, you're going to press in. Practice this, pray, walk in the spirit, so I can press it so you can obtain the release of a spirit without measure. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So the third point I've written down here is that God wants to teach the church and also the world through wisdom, that they may get riches in righteousness through the Josephs. You see, God needs to teach his church first before he now goes to teach the world. It's important. Physician, heal yourself. The builder of Christ needs to be healed. When Jesus Christ sent disciples, he said, go, don't go into the way of a Samaritan. He said, go to the lordship of the house of Israel. Many of God's people are lost today, even though they are in the church. They have a name that they live, but they are dead. Functionally dead. So the first thing that we have to do is to teach ourselves. That's for our first port of call. That we are now ready, we can now arise, that exceeding great jewels army, and then move to the world. You see, that's why God wants to teach the world wisdom. Let me put scriptures behind this. Psalm 105 verse 22. Psalm 105 verse 22 talks about Joseph. Psalm 105 verse 22. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Psalm 105 verse 22. Let's together. To do what? To bind his princes at his pleasure and to teach what? His senators wisdom. Joseph is going to teach them wisdom. You see, when they have problems and they don't answer, that means there were senators there. And when they called, Pharaoh called them and said, look, I have this bad dream. None of them had the answer. Only Joseph had the answer. So he's going to teach them wisdom. Wisdom we're talking about. The Bible says, in him and hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. When we talk about Joseph, don't think religiously that he's going to be teaching them Bible. That's a part of it. But we're going to teach them wisdom, knowledge, understanding from the Bible. In him I hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. We are coming to a day where you cannot afford to miss church. You come to church, pastor will be preaching, and you get answers to physics, mathematics. Yes, Bible calls the church the pillar and the ground of truth. All truth. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. Did he say Bible? He said we'll teach you all things. Did he say Bible? So why limit the scope of the Holy Spirit to teach you Bible alone? Are you trying to tell me that all the Holy Spirit knows is the Bible? Bible says he's going to teach you all things, guide you into all truth, and show you things to come. Show you things to come does not mean he's going to show you revelation only about the Bible. Things to come, inventions. You're going to go to bed and go to wake up one day. This is the answer from the Bible. You see, when I was in secondary school, before I got born again, they invited us to come and get born again. And the guy that used to come from UI, Brother Ali, I thought he was crazy. He would come and tell us, God is teaching computer. I said, you guys have gone crazy. How can God teach computer? Why? Because the picture I had of God is that, you know, that picture of Moses with long beard, you know, the ancient of days, white is. No, guys, in him I hid all the treasures, all. He didn't say Bible. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Praise the Lord. So that's what Pastor has been telling us over these years. This thing, this my ability of the mind of Christ. You know, I've just you can put that plan, you know, photographic, incredible photographic memory, you know, incredible language learning skills, incredible artistic skills, musical skills and mathematical skills. You know, and I can also put the scope there because of time, you can go through it. All this will be enveloped inside Joseph. That is why his father, foreseeing what will happen, gave him a coat of not just one color, many colors. Manifold wisdom of God. Are you following me? Proverbs 8, verse 18. You see, right now, if you're in business, you find that it is very difficult to operate in the business world. If you don't pray, my God, I don't know how you can survive. Yorubas have a saying, one is that he be compromising. Only is a leg or leg being. That is, the bottom of the riches. The fountain of riches is dirty. Let me just put dirty. It's not clean. Are we there? I said, riches and honor are with me. Who is me? Wisdom. I follow me. Durable riches and righteousness. Durable riches and righteousness. We're not go together. It's not durable and it's not in righteousness. So you can see why it has been very difficult for righteousness to exalt our nation. Because even Christians that are making money, that are building churches around the whole place, they are not getting their riches in righteousness. So how do you expect now you have to be exalted? That is why Babylon has to fall. I follow me. Babylon has to fall in this day. They are trading with the souls of men. Those riches you see have not been obtained in righteousness. They've compromised. Where did they compromise in the world? They omit the weightier matters of the law and lay emphasis on giving, tithes and offerings, as if that is what is going to deliver us from this God's dark darkness. If that's not delivered for the past 2,000 years, it's not going to deliver us. It can't, because the darkness is getting darker. Being an empire over let's leave Babylon for now. Day of trouble. It's not going to deliver. It has not and it will not. It is righteousness. Righteousness. That was the integrity that Pastor Kule was sharing with us. That's going to deliver us. Praise the Lord. The fourth point is that God wants to exalt Mount Zion, the pillar and the ground of truth. It's not going to exalt Israel. Israel, the church, is in a mess right now. It's not even going to exalt Jerusalem. Oh, that the salvation of Israel will come out of Zion. He wants to exalt Zion. Zion, you need to understand, is the company of people that have entered and pressed into the perfection and the fullness of Christ. And let me just add Joseph. Let me just add this again. They are traveling. That's one of the key things you need to know about prayer. As soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth. As soon as Zion traveled, she dispelled the gross darkness. You see, we have to occupy the air. We have to dethrone the prince of the power of the air. And it's only travel that will do it. We have to displace him. Fill the atmosphere with the power of God. You can occupy till I come. Possess the gates of our enemies. It's only Zion that can do it. Israel can't do it. Jerusalem cannot do it. It's only Zion. And Zion is a very small company. They could not do it, sir. Mind you, they were older than him. They've been in the ministry for years. But they could not. Can you imagine if God had not raised up Joseph, they would have all died. And that would have been the end of Israel. And you know what happened? That would have ended Jesus Christ. So everything that God told Abraham would have ended. Would have ended. So while these brothers were misbehaving around the whole place, Bible said Joseph will go and tell his father, you know, this and this and this and this and this. See, God, Bible said, he that is faithful in little shall be very much. You see, when they sold him, are you following me? They thought they had finished him, but he had just begun. Because God had to perfect him also. So in Potiphar's house, little was committed to his hands. So when he came out of Potiphar's house, God committed even more to his hands. There are more prisoners. There are a lot of people in prison. More than you have in Potiphar's house. So God added more responsibility for him. And he was faithful. That is the key. So you know why now, right now, why the present church cannot receive the spiritual measure? Because the confidence in our faithful man in time of trouble, there comes from like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint. God cannot trust the present Pentecostal church with the spirit without measure. Look at what we have done with the spirit without measure. Say you have allowed the blaspheme. I was reading recently about David. after they made him king. I think in 2 Samuel verse 6, 5, 12 or 6, 12. Put it on the board. We must not make that mistake. There are three temptations that the devil brings. They are very simple. Are you there? Please put it here. I think in 2 Samuel 5, verse 12. Please hurry up. Hurry up. It's not in my notes. I want to mention it briefly. Yes. And David perceived. Yes. And David perceived that the Lord had established him king over Israel. And that he had done what? Exalted his kingdom. Why? For his people, Israel. Now look at what David did. When he perceived, what did he do? And he took more concubines. After he perceived, can you imagine? God blesses you. There's an increase in the measure of grace upon your life. The next thing to get concubines. He had married two wives though. He had married Abigail and Ahinoam. Then when he got there, the first thing he did was, he said, go and bring Micah. I prayed 200 foreskins of Philistines. Was he supposed to have done that? When the Bible says, states clearly in the Old Testament, that you will not create an abomination. If somebody leaves his wife, husband and goes to marry another person, that he can't go back to that same person. David disobeyed the rules. And the Bible says, multiply us. Yes, sir. I'm coming to it, sir. Hey! Deuteronomy 17, verse 14. Three basic temptations are coming with three spiritual measure. They are all enveloped in that. They are all enveloped in that. See, when thou art come into the land, where's the land? The land of the promise of the perfection and the fullness of Christ. Let's keep reading because of time. With the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set the king over me, like as all the nations that are about me. God has made us kings and priests in Christ Jesus. Now, when God wants to make everybody kings, Joseph's says him. Next verse. That's how I know I said the king about whom the Lord God has not. Next verse. I want to skip to where it talks about the problem. Say, number one, let's say, he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause people to return to Egypt to worldly means of oppression, unrighteous means of getting wealth. Are you following me? To that, so to the end that he should multiply horses for as much as the Lord has said unto you, he shall henceforth return no more that way. Next verse. He's still talking about money here, riches. Now shall he multiply wives unto himself. Point number two. Immorality is there. To himself, that his heart turned not away. Nana shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. This is what I've written before David. Is David made a mistake? He was not as diligent as he ought to. You know how I know? When they were bringing it back the ark, he didn't know. He knew it, but it was not fresh. He said they should bring it on the oxen. It was when people fell down, it was that died, and they went to see. But David was offended. I want to go and read his Bible. Said, God has said that the ark must be carried. You see, you must, like Joseph, he didn't have a Bible. You need to hide that word in your heart. So when you leave church and you are faced with a temptation, that word will, like Pastor said, it will speak to you. I follow him. So neither shall he great multiply silver and gold. Next verse. Neither shall he multiply wives unto himself. That's what happened to Solomon. And it shall be when he sits upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priests and Levites. Next verse. One more thing to go. And he shall be with him, and he shall read therein all this of his life, that he may learn to do what fear the Lord is God, and to keep his word of love. So the next verse. And what? And that his heart be not lifted above his brethren. Stop. And turn not aside. Three problems, folks. Wealth. Unprecedented wealth is coming to the church. The forces of the Gentiles. Money you have not seen before. It's not a time that the money can now change. I'm more against you changing your wardrobe. Then I decided, I can't stay in Ibadan again. I need to go to Lekki in Lagos. Are you following me? Money. 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 That's what brought is the root of Satan's fall. Merchandise. Babylon too. The same thing in Babylon. You see, that's how that spirit operates. So you can see riches. Multiply horses, silver and gold. So don't multiply it. Like mommy said in those days. Be a channel. As it's coming, let it go. You see, that's why God has not allowed many of us to have it. By the time you have this one, and you are, it's not enough. So you can't even afford to think about doing something that is not like you, that you are trying to pay your children's school fees. You have managed to gather the money together. You have just paid. And maybe they say, come and pay the balance tomorrow. And you, where will you get the extra to even spend on nonsense? Well, like Pastor was saying, go and buy a house for somebody in Honolulu and then camp one woman there. Oh, yo. Are you following me? So we can sit there briefly, money. Then he says, shall not multiply wives. Nobody in his right senses, apart from those in Babylon church, will go and multiply wives. But you see, he speaks of immorality. Concubines. Some of them are so bad, they have concubines. But you see, either you have a concubine, like David, or you do what Solomon did. You say, okay, I'll marry them. I see that will solve the problem. Are you following me? So it's still the same problem. The same problem. Are you following me? The last thing he said, he must write a copy of the law. And write it and read it every day, every day, every day. Or else, what are those three problems? The loss of flesh, loss of life, the pride of life. He said that, or else the heart will be lifted up. Folks, I'm not lying to you. God forgive me. I have an idea what it is when you preach a message and you walk in. You say, Pastor Joey, prophet. Prophet. Folks, let me tell you a fact. At times it gets to my head. And before I know it, I stumble. The prophet. Then before you know it, if you are not careful, are you following me? If you are not careful, you start feeling that you are something when you are nothing. The only way you can, I also observe one thing. Whenever I get to my head, I always notice that my prayer life has dropped. At times when they say that thing to me, when I'm by the grace of God, I'm walking in the spirit, it irritates me. I say, please, don't even go there. But if I've loaded in the morning, I've done all kinds of, I'm just gisting and misbehaving around the place, the devil will just send them to you. That was the problem of Absalom. The Bible said that when they come, let us, David's throne is there, Absalom will sit here. So they will come at the gate. And I will give them counsel. It's a dangerous ground, though. I know what I'm saying. It's a dangerous ground. Let me ask you a question that God spoke to me some time ago. No, it's very easy for people to come and meet you now. Bros, please, come, I need your counsel. The question I ask them is, don't you have an overseer? Why? You know why? The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, it says that obey and some that have ruler. Say, for they are the ones that watch for your souls. I'll give an account. I'm not the one that is watching for your soul. Pastor, I'm not going to give an account. So, but what I'm saying, these are the temptations that are there. They've come and tell, don't you think that was a problem between Lot and Abraham? That's why you see most of the church that break up. That's what happens. Because people go and arrogate things. You know, you need to start your own church. They started it today. But we're all waiting for what will happen. Praise the Lord. So those are the three temptations. Pride, immorality, and wealth. Those are the three things that David's going to do. A three-pronged fork. Okay, God forgive me. Let's continue. So God wants to exalt Mount Zion as a pillar and ground. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Let's go there briefly. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. Let's say, but if I tarry long, like we are tarrying now for the Lord to return, although it's Paul speaking here, say, know how thou mayest ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is what? The church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. If they are looking for any kind of truth, scientific truth, you know, whatever kind of truth, they should come to the church. They should come to the church. Physical, spiritual, whatever, they should come. The Bible says, unless you don't believe, it's a pillar and the ground of truth. Yes, we are going to get there. Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2. They are coming. What says they in Colossians 2, 3? In him are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. They are all there. May God open our eyes. Let's take this thing we have been taught very serious. We start praying in tongues. The Bible says we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom of God. How many of us pray in tongues? I said the other day, and it's a challenge to us. If Paul that spoke in tongues more than you all he could do was with the spirit with measure. and you want the spirit that measure, won't you pray more than Paul prayed? When I say pray now, pray at all levels, at your thought level, with your mouth, everything in tongues. He prayed in tongues more than the Corinthian church, and he gave us two over half a New Testament. So, and you want to do greater works. You have not even got it to what Paul has done. I think God will just say, take. You can't, that thing will, you know what I say, the weight of the glory, you crush under that weight. There is responsibility on you and I to pray without ceasing. We are going to know what that means in this season. What it means to pray. That's what we become, like Papa Raph said, he was talking about, the pastor has become prayer. Every motion, every thought, everything, you are praying. Prayer means communion with God. Non-stop, you are waking up, you are praying, you are in his presence. Praise the Lord. Isaiah 2 verse 2. Help me, Holy Spirit. Let's read. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mount of the Lord's house shall be established where? In the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and what? All nations shall flow into it. Next verse. All nations, without exception. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry with you. Don't kiss the devil. Of course, if God inhabits the praise of his people, Satan will inhabit the praise of his own people. I will come down. And he came down. And we saw what he did. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and the what? Teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For where? Out of Zion shall go forth the Lord, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. And that says it all. Now, as I begin to round up, how are we going to experience these things? How? God is going to make bright clouds. Pastor has taught us before. That is what you should be looking for right now. He's going to make bright clouds. Zechariah chapter 10 verse 1. He said clouds contain rain. The doctrine, Deuteronomy 32. Are we there? God is going to make bright clouds, Joseph, that will give rain in this time of famine. There's a famine in the land. Are we there? It says, ask ye of the Lord. Ask ye of the Lord. Rain. In the time of the latter rain. So the Lord shall do what? Make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. You are asking for rain. God is giving you cloud. You are asking for the spirit without measure. And God is giving you cloud. Cloud speaks in the Bible of a cloud of witnesses. That means the rain or the spirit without measure is going to come from the cloud. So when pastor says that, we should start praying for the manifestation of a spirit that measure. You're asking for rain. So that rain, you cannot have rain without the cloud. When Elijah was praying on the mountain, he told Seth, go and after 7 days, he saw that black cloud. Like the hand of a man. Then it grew bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. All of a sudden, Elijah has been running from day one. Before he ran, he fought about rehearse when he ran in front of Ahab. The next time was running away from Jezebel. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy 32 verse 2. You didn't get that. Deuteronomy 32 verse 2. Help me, Holy Spirit, to round up. 32 verse 2. My doctrine shall do what? Drop as the rain, and my speech shall distill as the dew, as a small rain upon the tender harp, and as showers upon the grass. So anytime you see rain, we're talking about doctrine. Teaching. Jesus Christ said that, my doctrine is not my own. I don't want to turn there because of him. But if any man will do his will, then shall he know whether doctrine be of me or not. So he's talking about doctrine, teaching, fine teaching. What do you hear every month, every Sunday? What do you hear every Wednesday? Fine teaching, fine. Refined wisdom. Are you following me? So, let's open our Bibles to Joel chapter 2, which we found verse 19, to see what we mean by this fine doctrine. Remember that earlier on we said that the worlds were created by the word of God. So the oil that you see, petrol, whatever, the computer, but anything physical that you see, it came out of the world. God spoke them into existence. So everything is locked up in the world. And is upholding everything by that same word of his power. So are we there? Joel chapter 2, verse 9. Let's see. What does it say? Yea, the Lord will answer and say unto his people, behold, I will send you corn, wine, and oil, and you shall be satisfied therewith. I will no more make you a reproach among the heathen. You see, God wants to satisfy you with corn, wine, and oil. That word satisfy there includes, it is the corn, wine, and oil that will make God satisfy you with long life and show you salvation. If you don't have that corn, if you don't have the wine, you don't have the oil, it will be difficult for you to be satisfied with long life. The pastor just said now, whispered, I shall be satisfied when I awake in his likeness. Are you following me? So, but for you to be satisfied, God will give you corn, wine, and oil. Let's look at that. Corn, wine, and oil from the Josephs. Because when the famine broke out, they all went to Egypt to go and meet Joseph. And what did he give them? He gave them corn, wine, and oil. If you read that, so that time to Sunday, after he gave them, you're not okay. This one you plant, this one you give to this one you. But he was the only one that had corn, wine, and oil. Only Joseph. Are we okay? So what is corn? Corn in the Bible speaks of the word of God. That is that raw material that we need. It is from corn that you now get wine. This speaks of revelation knowledge. It's from that revelation knowledge that you get about the spirit, from the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that will not give you the spirit that may have the oil. The oil of gladness above thy fellows. So everyone said, we need the corn, we need the wine, and we need oil. In that progression, all we have had thus far, you see, what the mistake that John the Baptist had, John the Baptist had the corn, but never got the wine from Jesus. It was not at the feast of Cana of Galilee. And John did no miracle. He had the coin, but he did not have any wine. So when Jesus Christ said, this is the beginning of miracles, and he manifested forth the glory to his disciples, John was nowhere to be found. Well, later on, that the oil, now put the oil on all of them. That is why you have to be in the upper room. You have to tie in the upper room, a bit of revelation knowledge. Don't stay with the corn. You got to go for the wine, new wine. Wines on the lees, well refined. Well refined. That is what is flowing out from Mount Zion. So the last thing we expect now is the oil. The oil. Bible said, God has anointed with oil, the oil of gladness above thy fellows, just as brothers. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated with. Therefore, God thy God has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, his brothers. And the senators. All of them, just as brothers, the Babylon brothers. All this leadership, the world. You have not seen wealth. You have not seen wealth. But I won't talk about that. Let's return to a prosperity message. Let's stay with the corn, the wine, and the oil. Praise the Lord. So, that is what God wants to do. The corn is the word. The wine is the revelation of knowledge that comes from that same corn. And it's that same wine, you know, after you now process it, that wine will not give you the oil. That's where we are right now. That's where we are right now. You know, like Papa Raph said, he said when they gave root, he took those measures of wheat, says he beat it out. Be like Berean Christians, you take that thing that has been given to you, beat it out in prayer, travail over this thing, groan over it. But thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. Let the waves, the life of God, flow into your soul, enlighten your darkness in your sphere of influence where you're walking. And when there's a problem, come and call you. Say, I know one guy here. Joseph, please come. We have a problem with this machine. We don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden, that wine will just turn to oil. It was as they took the wine to the guy that he changed. The governor. Took the water of the word. Praise the Lord. So, the last scripture we want to talk about, let's go to the Bible, book of Genesis chapter 45, verse 8. When Joseph came to the throne, it's just the beginning. There's nothing to be proud about. It's just the beginning. It was after he came to the throne that he got married. He could have done what David did and get more concubines. And you know what happened? Pharaoh would not have said anything. So as much as you are, if that is what you make this wisdom flow, have it. He has now, you see, when he came to the throne, that was the beginning. When he started ruling, and he married only one wife. Just one. If he had told Pharaoh that, look, I will need more than one wife. Are you following me? They would have allowed him. They will give him, in fact, the whole of Egypt will come. Joseph, what are you telling me? You will find people, they will bring their daughters. Some of you are laughing. Okay, Pastor Brian, you are Joseph. Please, this is my daughter. You are Joseph. God, you see, you don't understand though. I'm telling you things to come. When the glory starts manifesting, those are the things that will be offering you. They are not going to come and say it directly like that, like Pastor was saying the other day. Seven women. It's not going to happen like that. Like they are doing in Babylon Church. They call them ministering spirits. You go and minister somewhere. Then it's women that will be serving you around the place. He's not going, guys. You see, what we are saying is this. You see, if you're not, let me tell you a fact. Elijah is a man of like passions. If you're not under authority and they say, go there and you come back, with that sin nature on you, you will yield. The only reason why Joseph could survive in Egypt was because of the covenant of his father, Jacob. He was still alive. He was still alive. That was where he was coming from, because it was when I had the promise, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So the power was still flowing, even though Joseph was not with Jacob. In his children. Thank you, sir. That was why. I'm a spirit. Yes. Yes. Papa, yes. Paul said, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, said, deliver us out of church unto Satan. So that is the power you are wondering, even though Joseph had a measure of what he was doing. But what multiplied it was his father Joseph that delivered him from Potiphar's wife. He kept, you see, understand how this thing operates. But I said, one shall put 1,000 to fly, two. The two, the one that joins that two, is your oversight. Or else, if you think it's only marriage, then what about those that are not married? So it's covering that joins that one. So even though Joseph knew that his father was alive, somehow, so he was tapping into that thing. His attitude was right. He had an open womb. Jacob must have been praying every day. Yes. Father, it's alive. That is, these things cannot happen if my father had died some time ago. I don't have time to come there. That guy that, that time we shared about you, that king, that funny guy that killed Zechariah. Was after Jehoiada died. Josiah, the guy just started misbehaving. Josiah. So the power was coming from Israel, and Jehoiada was resting upon Joseph. How was resting upon Joseph? It's not by coming to scripture, pastor. It is good. It's a heart connection. And the connecting tools are the instructions of the Father as you obey. Those are the power lines. So once you cut that, those instructions, I follow me, you cannot connect again. Those are the power lines. So he made sure that he kept the word his Father had taught him. So the life of God kept flowing to him right in Egypt and kept him. In Potiphar's house, he kept him. He's a man of life passions. A young boy for that matter. Let me paint a picture. God help me. I want to give him time. Let me paint a picture. Potiphar, you really said that, okay, come lie with me. Lie. You know, it won't happen. It doesn't happen like that. Joseph, number one, knew that he was supposed to be in Potiphar's house. If he did not know, he would have taken a chariot one day and lied to Potiphar and said, ah, oh God, there's one land that you just bought there. Let me go and check it for you. And I will miss. But he knew somewhere inside him that was supposed to be there. There's a place called there. Now, when Potiphar spoke to him, he would have offered him riches. Don't worry. I will tell God to give you a car. I will bless you, increase your salary. He's not just lie with me. What lie with me do? He will have offered him like Satan offered Jesus Christ, the world. All this will I give to you. Potiphar is old already. He's going to die very soon. You're going to be the heir. I'm going to marry you. So he wasn't just lie with me. What lie? 5 minutes lie with me. What to do? What I'm talking about? He offered him riches. The same temptation that Jesus Christ had on the mount. Offered him. Don't worry. Don't worry. God will not know. But if he had done it, that would have been the end of the dream. That's why many are dying today in Pentecost. They have been having an affair with Potiphar's wife. Babylon! Let's move on. God forgive me. Okay. Genesis 45 verse 8. 45 verse 8. Let's just read the last aspect as we close. So, who is speaking here? Joseph. So, let's read together now. So, now it was not you that sent me, Hita, but God, and he had made me a father to Pharaoh, and what? The Lord over his house, and what? A ruler over all the land of Egypt. Let's say together, Lord, ruler, father. One important thing, it was God that sent him. That speaks of the apostolic anointing. Say, well, you didn't send me. This anointing I have is not because you are my brothers. I didn't get it because it came from the same family. It is God that sent me. And he made me a father, Lord, and ruler. Those three stages is what we are going to begin when you begin to rule on the throne. Stage number one, ruler. That is between the ages of 30 and 37. At 30 was when he appeared to Pharaoh. Right or wrong? So, which now began the 7 years of plenty. So he began to rule. But the rule in the midst of your enemies. That when you start putting this, these are types of your, when you start ruling in the midst of a carnal mind, you start putting that signature down. Then God start giving you plenty. Plenty here is not just food. Revelation start coming. Why? That's what has happened if you operate in the same place of wisdom all these years. That's 7 years. I don't want to go into spiritual growth, but it's the same thing I'm talking about. So what happened? He started ruling in the midst of his enemies. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Cannot please God. So he started pleasing God. Started dominating that sin nature that he brought out from the prison. Are you following me? So the next age, it was ages 37 to 44. When the years of famine began. That's where we are right now. There's a terrible famine. Nobody needs to tell you. Just listen to what fellow Christians say at times. You'll be wondering. Are you following me? And then finally, God now made him a father. That will be from 44 to 51 if you had 7 to eat. So at the age of 51, God made him a father. Not just to his brothers. His brothers were there. Even he became a father to his own father. It's not about age. Jesus Christ was a father to the Pharisees even though he didn't submit. It's about the unction that is upon your life. The amount of corn that you can give out that will turn to wine and to oil. So he became a father to Jacob. He became a father to his brothers. And he became a father to Pharaoh, the world. That's why that guy ran to Elisha the other day. He said, my father, the horses of kingdom. Why? They will recognize their fathers in this day. Are you following me? So, in closing, so Joseph spent the remaining 59 years in prosperity and pleasure. He spent the remaining 59 years, he spent it in pleasure. Now, it wasn't that he was playing around, he enjoyed himself. But this is something very important. The Bible just mentions it. For 59 years, you can't be driving around the whole place, for God's sake. Pastor mentioned missionary work. He started telling his brethren, guys, God is going to bring out this place. So, take my bones when you are going, you know. Take my bones when you are going, you know. That's what it was. God just put in the scripture. He became a prophet. He started pointing them towards Abraham had said earlier on, when God appeared to Abraham, I said, your seed shall be here for 400 years, and he will bring them out. They all heard, but they did not hear. So Joseph again took those same scriptures and started telling them, listen, Egypt is not the place. So. Goshen is not the place. So. It's like a cocoon. You are going to the promised land. So guys, I know I've seen the land ahead. But when I die, don't leave my bones here. How else can you make something so simple? Why didn't the other brothers tell their own siblings or their children, please don't leave my bones here? They had no hope of the resurrection. Well, I mean, guys, I'm standing here. You are saying, hey. We are saying the same thing every day, that God has received that measure. Tarry in Jerusalem. Are you there? It's the same thing they did. I say, hey, call honey. Joseph was telling them, all the brothers and all the children, don't leave my bones here. God is going to visit you. Carry my bones along with you. They heard it, but they didn't obey. What would it have cost them? What would it cost them to tell their own children? But though Joseph has said it to. You know why? They ate the physical corn, but they never digested. They drank the physical wine, and they used that oil as it's all the natural. They didn't have a revelation. Let's round off. Genesis chapter 50:24. Joseph is 110 years old. 50:24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God shall surely means verily, certainly, visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which he swear unto Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Next verse. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and shall carry up my bones from thence. So you can see now that even though they were natural seed of Abraham, they were not. A Jew is not the one that is the one outwardly. Yeah, it's the circumcision of the heart. They didn't obey their father. The Bible doesn't say where they buried them, but Isaiah will have buried them in Egypt. And Goshen is fine now. When there is darkness, there is light. Goshen is fine. Are you following me? So they perished there. Hebrews 11:22. So when, I think it was Bill Britton that said it. When the resurrection occurred, they were not there. That was why that old prophet in the Bible, when he tricked that young prophet, he said, put my bones inside. Because when the anointing hits, he said, carry my bones, oh. Carry my bones. What's that guy's funny name? Ephraim. Carry my bones, oh. You know, I misbehave a lot. So I can, under Joseph's covering, put it in his covering. But they all perished in Egypt. Hebrews 11, what does it say? By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. Only three people entered the promised land of the older generation. Joseph's bones, Joshua, and Caleb. Period. Can you imagine these fools? They were all in the wilderness. They were carrying the bones. as they carry the ark, they will carry the bones for 40 years. And they still could not wake up against them. Thank you, sir. They were carrying the bones with the ark for 40 years. They obeyed that instruction, but that instruction didn't have any impact on their life. So at the end of the day, it was Joshua and Caleb and Joseph's bones that entered the promised land. All that perished in wilderness. Maybe they built a very nice sepulchre for them, whatever. I don't know where that one is. They painted it and garnished it as if that is destiny. So they had no hope of resurrection. That's the problem. They ate the corn, but not digest the corn. So how do we become a Joseph? I will close. Help me, Lord Jesus. By staying under and following a Joseph. Let's say it together. By staying under and following a Joseph. Josephs will reproduce Joseph. Can reproduce Joseph. Seed will reproduce after his kind. So you have to stay under Joseph to become a Joseph. I don't have time. There are three Josephs in the Bible. Joseph that we are talking about. Joseph in which God committed his son to. And Joseph of Arimathea, I committed his body to. Waiting for the resurrection. See, God had to, he gave Joseph, he committed his people to him. He preserved out those people. When we're looking, you see, why am I saying Joseph? Joseph that Jesus Christ was committed to, he had an honest heart.
Yes.
So God take that character of Joseph and gave him a son. Because he knew that Joseph was taken to the temple. For the, not just for one feast though. For Passover, Pentecost, tabernacles. That's why Jesus Christ at tabernacles, he shouted, said, he that thirsted, let him come and drink. He had gone through those feasts many times, so he now understood the significance that, look, it is for me. He could not have known if his parents had omitted the which are matters of the law. If they didn't take him to for tabernacles, he would have ended up dying at Pentecost or Passover at Pentecost. Then when he died again, God committed his body to another Joseph. Waiting for 3 days for the resurrection. So that body can come out. Yes. Yes. Okay. So how do we identify Joseph? No man had ever, yeah. And the Bible says he wrapped him with linen clothes. Linen. So. How do we identify Joseph? We need to understand who Joseph is. We need to identify Joseph. So you not go and submit to somebody who is not Joseph. How do we identify Joseph? Pastor has taught us the fruit of good treasure. I said, God, the fruit of what? Good treasure. And skipping spiritual law. I didn't say anointing, no. All this funny. Just because I said, in that day, many will come and I cut out them with your name. No, that's not it, though. He said, depart from me, ye that walk in the cure. Depart from me, you are not Joseph. So let's open to Luke 6:45 as we round up. Just about 2-3 scores, we'll stop. 6:45. A good man or a Joseph out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man, Joseph's brethren, out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For what? Of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. So you want to know a Joseph, listen to the abundance of your heart. You know why? There's some revelations you will never get if you're not humble. If you like, tie your scarf. If you like, wear your trousers, be like those Muslims that call Tebik. That's not what gives revelation. It's a heart issue. Heart issue. Humility. Why? Bible says that God receives the proud and gives grace to the humble. Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. I said, with Lord is what? Wisdom. James says that, for he giveth more grace. Say there is room for more grace. Wherever you are now, there is room for more grace. So that grace now, what is it going to do? It's going to give life. Let's talk about the grace of life. That life now will now give light. Arise, shine, for what? Your light is gone. But it starts from humility. So when you see a Joseph, you listen to what they are teaching. You don't omit the weightier matters of law. You take what they've teach, what they teach you, that corn, the wine, and you try it, and you see that it works in your life. That's how you locate Joseph, or the fruit of good pressure, which is coming from a humble heart, which helps you recognize the grace upon their life. That grace gives life. That life gives light. Praise the Lord. And a last aspect that we now come under Joseph, not only enough to identify it. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. So we start doing what Joseph does. Imitate him. How do we do this? By keeping and operating spiritual law. Romans 8 to say, the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from a law of sin and death. No, I defined Joseph earlier. Joseph is a group of people that are operating spiritual law and have attained the zero sin rate, and God has rewarded them with what? The spirit that measure. That's a Joseph. So when you look at a Joseph, when he's talking, you know who a Joseph is from a fruit of good treason. Now, out of the things that are given you, you now start using the blood. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20-21. We all know you can put it on the board to clean. You clean with the blood, Lord, and fired by the Spirit. I must mention those scriptures of time. The Word of God. Those are the things that will make you perfect. And then the Spirit of God. When you now pray, you know, like Joseph prayed. Praise the Lord. So it's very, very important to have these things at the back of our mind. Locate where you are. Look for Joseph by the fruit of good treasure. Follow that Joseph, using the blood, the word, and spirit to perfect the love of God in your life, and you become an answer of peace to our generation. Praise the Lord.